We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Plant Profits. Plant Profits is an award-winning podcast. I'm your host, Vern Davis. Look, my guest today is what I would call a serial entrepreneur, investor, adventurer, who has co-founded numerous endeavors while driving hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue for his projects and for his clients, obviously. All the while traveling the world, he now operates the largest cannabis social advertising agency in the world called Lucid, and founded a next-gen cannabis and mushroom-infused social tonic called Breeze. And Breeze is spelled B-R-E-Z. I want you all to welcome to Plant Profits, Mr. Aaron Nosbisch, founder
of
Breeze and Lucid. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. I'm grateful to be here. I just finished a marathon yesterday. And I got a lot of energy. I'm buzzing. I'm ready to party. Just had my coffee.
Wait a minute. You finished a marathon and you got lots of energy? I would be in infirmary right now, brother.
Man, I don't know what the deal is. I came out to this Running Man festival hosted by Jesse Itzler. I came here to do a 5K, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm going to run 3 miles. And when I was on mile 7, I said, you know, I'm just going to go for a marathon. So I ran a marathon. It was my first marathon ever, and I'm exhausted. My legs don't really work, but I'm happy as can be.
Wait a minute. So you got to mile 7. You technically finished with what you came to do.
Yep.
Right? You're done. So is this how you normally make decisions, brother? Is this how you do this thing?
Unfortunately, yeah. I get into it, and when I'm on something, you know, I just kind of follow my gut. I did the 3 miles. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm going to go for a half marathon. And then mile 7, I'm like, you know, I'm going to finish this half marathon pretty soon, but I'm already here. This is the moment. This is the time. If I want to do a marathon, I could just do it. Otherwise, I got to go train, come back and do this again. I'm like, let's just get it done. So I just leaned in, and, you know, I stayed focused in my, just the mind over matter. There, you know, everything comes down in life to a simple decision of whether you will or you won't do it. You can talk about trying, or maybe I'll do it, or maybe this will work out. But man, that's not how you get stuff done. If you want to get things done, you decide this is what I will do, and then you fill in the blank. And on mile 7, I decided, okay, I'm just going to do it. And I decided to fill in the blank, kept a positive attitude. And, you know, my legs don't work very well today, but I got it done.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, well, your legs have never been where they went yesterday. You know, they've never done that. They've never done that, man. So, look, you are well accomplished in such a young life, right? You've done a lot, man, and it's admirable, but it's all been really focused. And you told me a lot, you know, when I said that you created millions of dollars of revenue for your clients and for your businesses. That says a lot. You could have said that really different, right? And that says a lot about what you're all about. And look, there's so many things we could talk about, and there's some things we won't talk about today. But what I really want to focus is this conversational journey that you and I are going to have on your cannabis journey. Okay, and when I look at that, what was your first experience with cannabis? You know, you're young enough. Yeah. Tell me about that, because you're young enough, it could have been an edible or it could have been a joint, right?
It was a small bowl in a gas station pipe in my friend's backyard.
Yeah.
7 inches of snow ducked down behind the gate of our friend's parents' house. It was classic. I, so I don't know, we, I had an older friend. I was in high school, I think, or maybe seventh yeah. grade or eighth grade, something like that. And I had an older friend, and you know, he was like, "Oh, you know, it's cannabis." All I knew all my whole life was cannabis is the devil's lettuce. You know, that this is one of those things you do it once and you're done for. My father actually was an ATF agent, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. So children to my head from a very young age that doing drugs would mess me up and be my ruin. Right. Funny enough, it became my growth success, you know, my success. So I got out there and we went out to late at night. We went to the back gate. We bent down. We stuffed the, you know, maybe a little tiny piece of weed into this, and just terrible weed, into this little pipe. Got back there. I took one or two puffs, I remember. I walked back inside. I went up to our friend's bedroom. We were hanging out. And I'm like, man, this stuff doesn't work. I don't feel anything. You know, nothing's going on, whatever. And I remember leaning my head down, and then I pulled my head back up. And when I pulled my head back up, the whole world had changed. Everything was different. I remember a distinct thought. I thought to myself, holy cow, I had no clue what life actually was. I had no clue that there was this level of dimension. There was a whole nother side of life that I just was not aware of. And it blew my mind. I had one of the best times of my entire life. I look back at that with such fond memories. I came back to that guy's house a few times after that.
How old were you at that time?
I was probably like maybe 14, 15, 16, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a cool story, man.
Yeah, I loved it, man. I remember I was mind blown. It was the first time I had experienced a shift in consciousness, an alternate state of consciousness, and it was inspiring. And one of my favorite things in life, I call them paradigm shifting moments. I'm sure you've had some of those paradigm shifting moments. They change who you are. Yesterday, I ran a marathon. That changed who I am. That shifted my paradigm. I'm in the deep pursuit of paradigm shifting moments. I try to make sure those are net positive.
Absolutely. And I totally, totally, absolutely get that. And I appreciate that story. That's a pretty intimate story. So you went from your friend's bong, gas station pipe. Yeah, that's even different. But so if you think about it, so you're this entrepreneur. So tell us about your entrepreneurial journey from there to creating, say, Lucid.
Yeah, for sure. So let's say I was between like 13 and 15 at that time frame. I started clothing. Well, I'll back up a little bit. When I was about 10 years old, 11 years old, I got my first laptop. I built a couple websites for a couple fishing lure companies. I built those websites. I used the money from the website that I built my parents' laptop to buy my own laptop. I got into graphic design, and then I started a clothing company. We would do T-shirts, we'd do graphic designs on the T-shirts, print them on the shirts, and then we would sell them on the internet. We sold them on Big Cartel and MySpace. And so right around that same time frame was when I got into cannabis. So I'm experiencing the internet and the distribution of the internet, connecting with online communities. So that's kind of where my D2C background kind of started. And then I got into cannabis from there. So I did that for a while. I actually joined a band shortly thereafter. I was with We Are Triumph and Records, and we had a deal with Victory Records. And so I learned a lot about the music industry and kind of the conscious industry of cannabis. They have a lot of similarities. There's a lot of crossover there in those people groups. So, you know, I use cannabis a little bit more then. So I kind of did that for a while. Fast forward a few years, I went to college in Florida. I met these guys in Florida that were working on a portable aromatherapy diffuser. They essentially took a pen, like a vape pen, if you know, like loose e-cigarettes, these kind of things.
Yeah,
they took the nicotine and tobacco out of it. They added essential oils into it. And these essential oils created, we just called it Feel the Way You Want, where our blends of essential oil pens. And so they're portable aromatherapy diffusers. So you suck on these pens and you feel happy or sleepy or sexy. And it all used terpene technology. I'm sure you know, every plant around has terpenes. It doesn't matter if it's cannabis or a lavender plant or your tree in your backyard. They're all emitting terpenes. Those terpenes go through your olfactory bulb, sending signals to your brain, promoting a specific effect. So we combine those effects. Long story short, I joined that company as the first people. It was the father, son, and me. Pushed it online. We did 100,000 in sales our first year. We did 7 million in sales our second year.
7 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
Top 50 fastest growing companies in America 2 years in a row. Yeah.
That's great. What year was that? What year time period was that?
I want to say 2014 ish, okay. Like 15, 16, 17, something around there.
Okay.
So we did zero. We did 100,000 our first year. Then we unlocked Facebook ads. And so for those of you who don't know, Facebook ads is probably the most effective acquisition channel on the internet today for getting your product or your in front of customers. And so we did that. I wrote a letter to Zuckerberg and I said, this is pure innovation. This is not an e-cigarette. This is not a vaporizer. You need to let us advertise this. And to my surprise, he didn't email me back, but my ad account became unlocked and we became one of the first non-vaporizers to ever sell on the Facebook platform. So that allowed us to scale really quickly.
You broke the code.
That was a natural, you know, from there, 2018 Farm Bill passed. And those who don't know, 2018 Farm Bill, that's essentially what legalized hemp, CBD. Yep. I started a CBD brand. I actually had a big falling out with the Monk guys and I got pushed out of the company. I didn't really know how to dot my I's and cross my T's at the time. You know, I was a pretty young guy, even the company, and I was seeing her though. I just didn't really know what I was doing on that front. So that was my kick in the teeth moment, we'd call it, you know, in entrepreneurship. So
yeah.
I started a CBD brand after that called Maku, M-A-K-U. And I tried to advertise it. I got some Black Hat ads live. We drove 60K in recurring revenue. People were loving the product. It was great. But then I was getting shut down by Facebook every which way. It was awful. And many CBD brands, I'm sure, have lived through that reality. And so I did that. And then I started consulting brands in the cannabis space. Because what's interesting about cannabis is the majority of the cannabis market is not a direct-to-consumer market. It's a dispensary, it's a regulated market, or it's a distribution market. So you're working with big distributors to get your product out there. So I decided, consulting these brands, they all wanted to know how to advertise. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to see if I can keep working on this. And kept working on it, and I started a company called Lucid. It was, you know...
Let's take a break right there, because I want to learn more about Lucid. Lucid has been amazingly successful. And we can talk about that. Yeah, absolutely. And we can talk about that when we come back. I'm Vern Davis. I'm your host of Plant Profits. And Plant Profits is brought to you proudly by Produce Global. My guest today is Mr. Aaron Nosbusch. He is the founder of several things. But let's just start with Lucid and Breeze. We'll go from there. We'll see you on the other side.
Plant Profits will return so our sponsors can profit from these messages.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Vern Davis, and I am your host of award-winning podcast, Plant Profits. And my guest today on Plant Profits is Mr. Aaron Nosbusch. He is the founder of Breeze and Lucid. And right before the break, we were beginning the conversation about how he got started advertising in cannabis, and his business is called Lucid. So let's go there, Aaron. Tell us about that, because everybody at the beginning was trying to figure out, how do I get the word out about my brand? All these rules and regulations about compliant advertising in the category. Talk to us about how Lucid cracked the code.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So, you know, a lot of my experience at Monk was the key factor. I had experience working on innovative herbal plant-based products that were not what people thought they were. You know, and that's the thing, a lot of stigma associated with our industry, whether it's cannabis or hemp or even any of these modern medicines, a lot of stigma associated to that. So the first challenge was really understanding where people's heads were. So long story short, I had my CBD brand, started consulting people. They all wanted to know how to build, scale, and exit by doing Facebook ads and whatnot in CBD and hemp space. Kept working on it. I started this agency called Lucid. Kept working on it. And what I started is I got the official policies from Meta. So for those of you who don't know, Meta is the top acquisition channel on the internet for a direct-to-consumer company. In cannabis THC, there's not actually very much direct-to-consumer happening because it's all the dispensary. So it's all regulated middlemen kind of closed-loop system. But in hemp and CBD, that's primarily a D2C game.
Yeah.
And so all these guys wanted to access Meta. I decided, you know, I'm going to try to figure it out. I looked for all the rules and I couldn't really figure it out. So I called some friends from my days at Monk. At Monk, we were in the top 1% of fastest growing advertisers on the platform. And so I had a lot of good connections at Meta. So they sent me the policy of what was allowed and what wasn't allowed. What they said was that you could drive to CBD educational content that would lead to additional information. So an article such as, hey, what does CBD feel like? Or what is full spectrum CBD? Or things like this. And then they would go to an article and then they would click over to maybe your homepage or another page on your website. So they said they could do that. They said that we could do hemp topicals at the time. So if it was a hemp product and topical, non-CBD or THC, that we could run it or a news article. So I tried that. I tried it all over, and there was other people in space trying to do it, and I was still getting shut down left and right. It didn't really matter, right, even if I followed all the rules. I was just still getting blocked. I'm sure many people would have that similar experience in the space. I decided I needed high-level rep support at Meta, the highest level tier support. It's really hard to get good customer service at these tech platforms.
Oh, right.
Especially in advertising. So I decided, you know, who's going to have that? Well, big agencies that are not in cannabis, that are not in these kind of innovative emerging markets, they would have that rep support. So I called a couple buddies. I called a guy named Nick Shackelford, who's one of my partners now at Lucid and in Briefs. He had really good connections at Meta. And I said, hey, dude, I think I'm onto something here. I know the policies. I know the rules. And as long as I can get access to your support, I think I can convince them that my ads are compliant and let me advertise. And so he said, let's give it a shot. I'll connect the dots. And if it works, then we'll make a deal. It worked. I made a big lawyer level case to Meta saying, this is fully compliant. I'm following all of your rules. You know, this is compliant advertising. You need to let us do it. Otherwise, you're not following your own rules, is what I told them. So I always say there's two ways to innovate. You either throw out the rules or you follow the rules and you build new rules on top rules. And so we kind of went that path, trying to work with them to expand that policy. So we made that deal. We got Medterra, which is a very big CBD brand, live on Facebook ads. And it started working really well right out of the gate. And then since then, we onboarded brand after brand after brand. Now we are at about 100 of the top CBD, hemp, and hemp-derived THC brands. We actively have about 50 clients that we run ads for. Wow. We went from Charlotte's Web, McCann, Delta, to... So long story short is, you know, we used a leveraged high-quality support at Meta.
Sure.
We innovated upon the policies, and since then, we've just continued to do that. We've just continued to dig in and understand what these policies are actually means, what's the intentions behind them, and see if we can find ways to advertise that's either compliant or compliant enough in order for us to really kind of push them, you know. And for me, it's for a long time, it was about compliant advertising. But in these days, I kind of think these platforms are a little behind where things actually should be. You know, Twitter's a good example. They've kind of opened up the platform. So now you can advertise really anything you want, whether it's THC, CBD, regulated or not regulated, hemp or marijuana. And I think that that's where this industry goes, and it's where it should be right now. The fact that it's not on major platforms like Meta and Google, when they have true monopolies on the online digital acquisition space, it's a problem. It's a problem. It's not right. It's important that those things get progressed. And you know, we tried our best to follow the rules, but we also try to prioritize this plan.
Yeah. Has Twitter or X, as you call it now, has that been successful?
Twitter is effective with a decent amount of ad spend in order to train the algorithm properly. So there's brands that sell flower. Like, I'll tell you one client we have is Cheech and Chong, THC, CBD. Yeah. They have some gummies. They have a high-end dry beverage. They do great on Twitter. You know, they spend a more significant amount of money monthly, and they're also leveraging other channels like Facebook and Google. Mm-hmm. And so I think it works well as a secondary channel. And I think in the very near future, it will be a primary channel that people are looking for. It's a good platform, the great people that really care. So I think it's definitely coming for sure. For sure.
It's Meta. You've been, you know, Meta is really was your first choice of weaponry to do the advertising. Have they expanded the rules that they've created for their platform? Have they listened to you? Have they opened up? Have they seen how responsible you're working through this advertising? And have they become a better partner day by day?
I would say yes. And, you know, here's the thing. At the end of the day, what's behind these companies is just people. People who will, and these guys aren't against cannabis, they're not against CBD, they're just trying to cover their own asses. You know, they want to make sure that they're being liable to the government, they don't want to get shut down, and I don't blame them for that. That being said, there is important human activism at play here. That, like, the fact that we are distributing things like alcohol as a means to feel better, that it's actually destroying society fundamentally and has been for years. It's not acceptable. And so when there becomes alternatives available, we need to empower those brands and those players and those consumers to get safe access to these plants and to these compounds that are revelatory. And they can really
absolutely
change people's lives for the better. So I personally think that I think that they are very open and receptive. I think the people inside of these companies are becoming more and more. And I think that it's really unfortunate that the government has put so many regulations on the companies like Meta to comply. I don't think that Meta has a problem with cannabis. I think that Meta is trying to comply to the government. I think the government has a problem with cannabis because, you know, when people start thinking freely, it's a little harder to control people.
Okay. I totally agree with you there. And good luck on that effort. We need to expand this, you know, to support the wellness product, you know, that we call cannabis and hemp and CBD. All of that is very helpful to us. And I want to switch gears with you. I really want to spend the rest of our time together. I want to talk about Breeze. I'm so excited about Breeze. I'm really excited about Breeze. Yeah, yeah. How did you come up with the idea? Because it is different, and I want you to get into the uniqueness of this drink, this beverage. And I think beverages are so important to what we're trying to do here.
Well, so, you know, I realized I was advertising for, I had a brand Can came to me in November who sells a hemp-derived THC product, and they said, hey, do you think
they're doing very well with that. They're doing very well with that.
Incredible product, incredible brand. You know, talk about a brand who really understands the importance of building a category. They're really focused on that, which I think is really, really important. So I worked with them, and I was running their advertising, and they said, hey, do you think we get to this live on Meta with our hemp-derived THC beverage? And, you know, hemp-derived THC is a really incredible movement. It's almost like a karmic response to the restriction that we've been putting on cannabis for so many years.
Totally, totally.
So when they came to me, I was like, you know, I'm going to give it a shot. Let's see what happens. And, you know, to my surprise, it worked. We were able to get the ads live, and we advertised it as hemp beverages, and it worked. And it means a little bit more of a gray area type thing, but it worked. So I realized at that point, I started drinking a lot more tea, and it became so abundantly clear to me that the fundamental future of cannabis was going to be beverage, and it was going to be hemp. Yeah. Hemp doesn't have any of the scalability challenges that you face with traditional marijuana. We have a federally legal product, and then you put it in a medium that already fits the existing $300 billion recreational consumption culture. Like, it's the first time that it ever made sense. And it's also the effect curve. You know, the thing about gummies, you try these gummies, and although you might like a gummy or not like gummy, I'm not trying to, you know, hate on gummies. You just don't really know when it's going to hit, how hard it's going to hit, these kind of things. Right. And so beverage solves that problem. So I realized, though, to me, it was, okay, Can's great. And I love this product. And I've tried a few other products. And I think they're all great. But I think that that's my view of where this thing goes. The reality is these are conscious compounds. Trademark that term. But the idea there is, therapeutic compounds that lead to a net positive return. There's a lot more than just THC and CBD, whether it's the other cannabinoids in cannabis or other adaptogenic herbs such as ashwagandha or lion's mane mushrooms, or it doesn't matter really what it is, but there's a lot of very efficacious, good for you, net positive compounds out there that can curate a very unique recreational and therapeutic experience. And so I decided when I was running that I'd had to do this, that, you know, the future was not necessarily more gummies or more pills or more whatever. It was beverage. And so I decided, I went to Cannadelic Miami, and I was spreading the word that I'm working on a beverage, that I was looking for the right partners. And I got very lucky. I found some really smart people, Cannasol Technologies, who was really good at nano emulsification. And I also found a guy named Travis, who was just an incredible formulator and really an herbologist. And he showed me some nano-emulsified lion's mane, which is really an interesting product.
Yeah.
So the nano-emulsified lion's mane, we extract it, and then we emulsify it. So you get highly concentrated, highly bioavailable adaptogenic lion's mane. You know, lion's mane is a very popular product, but when you make it that concentrated and that bioavailable, you feel it. You feel it very quickly. It has this very, like, euphoric, happy, connected, smart, kind of sharp feeling. You know, you feel on top, like, you feel on it. So you mix that with THC, which has more of a relieving, relaxing, maybe euphoric and calming experience, and you get this very unique, social, buzzy beverage. And, you know, the thing for me is I used to drink a lot of alcohol. I don't drink any alcohol now, and I haven't for a while. But, you know, the thing about alcohol is when you drink that alcohol, the first thing that happens is release dopamine from the ethanol, which creates a buzzy, stimulant type feeling. So that's where you get that social, confident aspect of alcohol. Mm-hmm. But then actual ethanol in it is a relaxant. Yeah, it's a depressant.
Yeah.
So that calms you down. So you get kind of like an uppity, more social, but relaxing experience. I realized that for cannabis to actually win, and for new functional beverage movement to actually win, it first needs to model alcohol. It needs to have a very similar effect profile, a very similar effect timeline, add alcohol, but without the poison. And so our goal was to create a very fun beverage, a very flowy social beverage, something that wouldn't zonk you out on the couch, but also something that wouldn't keep you up all night, something that would just be fun. We wanted it to be no anxiety, no paranoia. So for us, that was the combination of a full spectrum mother's liquor extract, which created a very bold and full experience mixed with this nano-emulsified lion's mane, which gave a very social, buzzy, happy, uplifting type experience. And man, oh man, people love it. We launched it on, I went to the Benzinga Capital Conference with my buddy, on 4/17. We passed them out and people were loving it. They thought it was great. And we launched it on 4/20, April 20th this year. We just kept rolling with it. People really liked it. Since then, we've sold quite a bit. We sold about $200,000 worth of product last month, and just and we're scaling quickly to double that and hopefully keep scaling. And you know, our approach is most people are going distribution with their products. We're trying to go full direct to consumer. So our customers are buying online specifically. We're shipping direct.
I want to talk about that. Yeah, I want to talk about that because I saw that that's your primary reach is direct to the consumer. I really want to get into to a little bit of that and a little bit more about Breeze when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Vern Davis. I'm your host of Plant Profits. Plant Profits is brought to you by Produce Global. My guest today is Mr. Aaron Nosbusch, founder of Breeze and Lucid. We are talking now about Breeze, and when we come back, we're going to finish up that discussion. We'll be right back.
Plant Profits will return so our sponsors can profit from these messages.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Vern Davis. I am your host of the award-winning Plant Profits podcast. My guest today on Plant Profits is Mr. Aaron Nosbusch. He is the founder of Breeze and Lucid, and we're talking about Breeze. And you know, you were talking about the contents and how and what it's made up of, what the contents are of Breeze, and what it is designed to do. And you know, I have a couple kids that are not kids, they're adults. And they're talking to me about lion's mane, right? They're trying to get lion's mane, right? And you have it, and you have it in a unique formulation to create this wonderful product. How did you come up with the lion's mane thing? Was it because you were trying to design that effect that mirrored alcohol?
Exactly. Yeah, that was exactly right. Well, you know, first, I mean, I think that there's things that are happening on an energetic level that sometimes we just all kind of tap into. You know, I've been using lion's mane for a while. I'm a big Paul Stamets fan. I really like his products. I really like what he's up to there. I'd been trying these products and I realized I was just feeling smarter. I felt more connected. I felt like my brain was working better when I was taking lion's mane supplements. And so it was a pretty poor product to me. And so it's also it's the most studied functional mushroom, I believe, in the market right now for cognitive enhancement. So I decided, I met Travis, he showed me this nano emulsified lion's mane, and I'm like, man, that's really special. I've never heard of that. A lot of people, I don't think, really understand what's happening with both the THC beverage and these other compounds. Nano emulsification is a very interesting thing. We make molecules very small, so they absorb faster, and then you feel them much more quickly. And then that creates a much more efficacious product. And efficaciousness is important because alcohol is felt. These compounds that being, whether you smoke this thing that you smoke and drink, you feel it. So you have to build products that you feel. And that's when your concentration, extraction technology, concentration, and bioavailability through emulsion is very important in that regard. So
you said a lot there. Yeah.
I tried
it. It's really important. Like it.
So the first few versions we made, they didn't feel very good. They were kind of like a truck hit you with a weed. We had put myrcene in it originally, which was like an indica terpene. And they just really weren't like what I was looking for. So we just kept working on it. And eventually we found the right mixture of terpenes and extract and lion's mane to create an effect that mimics the positive, fun experience of alcohol without the poison, without the hangovers, without the regrets. And, you know, the fun part of alcohol is very fun. That's a very good for society in that regard. Like, you bring people together, you increase the network, but it's the con. It's the poison in your body. It's the delirious and stupid things you say that hurt your relationships. These are the cons of it. And so the goal was, can we get the positive without the negative? And I think we created something comparable. I think we created something that feels good and fun, but it doesn't take away from your life. And that was the goal.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And that's great. And beverage, I think, is going to be the key to the folks that enter for the first time, enter the cannabis category, the hemp category for the first time. I think beverage is a great way to do it. It's a socialization methodology and delivery system for consumers. I think it's It's awesome that you're doing that. So I got a question for you. So I talk to a lot of people, and something that I'm hearing about the beverage, because beverage is a small portion of consumption, right? But it's the fastest growing segment of consumption in the category, is that I keep hearing that, hey, until someone figures out how to create a beverage that drives energy consistently, it's not going to do what it could do, the beverage business.
Sustained energy without anxiety or paranoia. That's the key.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're talking about the broader beverage industry, you know, there's some great brands that make coffee that do hundreds of millions of dollars, change the world, you know, like, but
yeah,
you're looking for, but I agree. Like, I think the main problem with cannabis beverage is it's too relaxing. It doesn't capture that. I want to go out and have a night out.
That energetic state. It's got it.
I believe you can do it.
I believe you're the guy can do it.
I feel like we're there, man. And yeah. I think we're going to keep expanding on that and building. You know, my goal with this is, like, I think a lot of people look at this as, oh, hemp THC, that's the future. I don't think of it that way. I think that hemp THC is a very magical compound. It's a conscious compound that's very efficacious, but there's a lot out there. And I think the future of beverage is functional beverage that you use unique, conscious, net positive compound to create very efficacious, fun, and life-enhancing effects. And that's where this game goes, you know, and why I know that is because that's what I want. That's what we want. You know, I want to sit down with you, Vern, and drink a cold one, then have a good time and feel good and be better because I did it. That's what I want.
Absolutely.
You know, that, and I think that that's, I think we're well on our way. I think we're well on our way to creating that. I think Breeze is not alone in a very fun, functional beverage world that's getting better by the day. And I just hope that we can innovate and bring a lot of value to society. And I want to support other people. You know, I think the bigger the category gets, the better for all of us. You know, we need to create a movement here to shift culture from poisonous fun to real fun. Real fun's not poisonous. Real fun is connection with others. Real fun is building each other up. It's becoming more, it's learning, it's doing more and building more and creating more. I want to be part of that movement. I feel compelled. I feel responsible to do that because I see it.
That's great, man. That's great. I think that's a great way to leave this chat too, is what you just said. And I believe that you will do it. You bring the energy, you bring the intellect, you bring the want to this business, and you're what's good about what we're doing. And I really appreciate you, Aaron, for being on the show today. My guest on Plant Profits today was Mr. Aaron Nospisch. He's the founder of Breeze, and Breeze is BREZ, not BREEZ. And Lucid, the most successful cannabis advertising agency in the world. So, look, I really appreciate you being here. I appreciate all of you for joining us on Plant Profits. And I want you to go to your platform that you find your podcast, Apple, Amazon, Google, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you go, you can find Plant Profits. Download us. Please do that. And you'll find great podcasts like the one we just had today with Mr. Aaron Nospisch. I also want you to go to your LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, what we call it now, today's world, and look at Produce Global, my company, and really take a look at how and what we're doing to build companies and change people's lives. And that's PROTISGlobal.com. I'm Vern Davis. I am your host of the award-winning podcast, Plant Profits. Until next time, cheers.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, It's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.